Alright, hello everyone. Welcome back to another I Like You.
But you're wrong. This is Dean.
And this is Robert.
And today we have our first guest. I'm excited to say it is my son, Justin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Robert always starts the show with the beer of the week. And what is it this week, Robert?
Well, first I want to say, because last week we didn't say the name. We said Blackadder and their Belgian ale. But I want to make sure that the name of that particular beer was Lord Flashheart's Golden Ale. So I wanted to make a point of that. But this week we're doing Cypress and Grove Brewery. They don't name their beers. This is their Heffenweizen. So it's just a Heffenweizen from Cypress and Grove. Let's give it a shot.
A little too strong for the old man.
That's good.
But, it doesn't taste bad.
I love it.
Reminds me of Germany.
Yeah.
Okay, it reminds me of Germany. Must be nice. Well, my son here, Justin, owns a Chick-fil-A. He's an owner-operator in Miami, Florida. So we have some questions that we've been looking forward to asking you on the show. And let's start with, give us a basic core of the company, Chick-fil-A. That most people don't know everything, so this will kind of help.
Okay. So our corporate purpose, the purpose that Drew Caffey established, he founded the company many, many years ago now, and still remains our corporate purpose to this day, is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all that come in contact with Chick-fil-A, on everybody that comes in contact with Chick-fil-A.
So that explains the... my pleasure every time you go up there and get a straw.
Yes, you should always hear my pleasure, because
it's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to serve.
I gotta be honest, that's been out there so long, I can tell you that I own a car rental franchise that's in a hotel, and I actually hear it from quite a few of the higher up managers in the hotel when they say, it was my pleasure.
Well, my pleasure was adopted. That's not a Chick-fil-A thing, so that was actually taken from Ritz-Carlton. The founder of Ritz-Carlton knew Drew Caffey very well, and then that's what kind of led to us adopting the My Pleasure. That Chick-fil-A adopted that. We didn't create that. A lot of people think that, but we didn't create the My Pleasure. We adopted that as a service initiative, but it's all about being servant-hearted. That's really ultimately, my pleasure is definitely part of that, but at the end of the day, those are just words. It's about your heart and making sure your heart's in the right place and you're serving from your heart.
I guess it's taking pride in serving others.
Exactly. Yeah, it's you want to serve somebody else, not yourself.
That's pretty impressive. I've been dying to ask this question on air. Okay, explain to us the difference from Chick-fil-A to the fast food restaurants. Because I know that most Chick-fil-A people do not like being called fast food.
Yeah.
And please explain to the audience why and what you do that is so different than, say, the big brand guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we consider ourselves quick service, not fast food. So we're part of the QSR industry, the quick service restaurant industry. Part of that is, the quality that we take in our food. So everything from, like, our lemonade. In every single restaurant you go to, in any Chick-fil-A, almost 2,000 Chick-fil-A restaurants around the country, you're going to have lemonade that started as just a fresh box of lemons that somebody in the back of that kitchen every single day, every single night.
You're squeezing lemons.
Hand squeezing the lemons. And people ask, how do you come up with that lemonade? It's pretty simple. It's raw lemon juice from hand squeezed lemons, water, and sugar. That's it. Yeah,
wow.
If you get diet lemonade, the only difference is instead of sugar, it's Splenda. But that's just one example. I mean, in my restaurant, on a given day, we'll spend 8 hours squeezing lemons. But one person for 8 hours that does nothing but squeeze lemons.
I'm the lemon squeezer guy.
Yeah, and so...
That's a career.
Yeah, I mean, there's lemon pulp all over that person.
Wow, I can imagine.
They use the little old-fashioned juicer, plugs in and sits there and cuts them. Rinses the lemons, cuts them by hand. It's literally lemons that are coming from a farm.
So it's not a bag like in these other places.
No.
Where you just push a button and you get it.
No, there's nothing like that.
You don't have a Keurig type of machine?
No, no Keurig. Everything from our chicken, we use...
Explain the bath on the chicken.
Yeah, so we take raw chicken, you know, that's it's literally raw chicken, like a chicken filet. So if you get our famous Chick-fil-A sandwich, that's a standard filet of chicken that we have what we call a breader, a breading team member, who takes that filet and literally hand massages every single filet, breaking the tendons from the bottom of that filet all the way up through the top. What gives it that butterfly, so you have a nice big round filet that's going to go on a white or a wheat bun, depending on what the customer orders. And they take that filet, they grab it by the tips, they dip it in a milk and egg wash that we make in the restaurant, and then they take it from the milk and egg wash and they roll it in a seasoned coater, and then they take it from the coater, they put it immediately into a Henny Penny pressure fryer, they close the lid on it, and then it cooks that chicken. Standard Chick-fil-A sandwich will cook in about 4 minutes. Open the lid, release all the steam, toast that bun. We have a butter wheel, toast the bun, put that filet on there with two pickles, and
now,
serve that sandwich.
Now, the machine that cooks these,
yeah,
the pressure cooker,
yeah,
that is also timed, so you cannot undercook chicken.
No, it's impossible to undercook anything, even the grill. So it's a backyard grill. It looks like a backyard grill. It's got grates on it, just like a backyard grill. That's where we cook all of our grilled chicken. We marinate the grilled chicken by hand. We literally massage the marinade into the chicken before it goes on the grill. So, again, those are the things that make us different. It would definitely, believe me, it would be a whole lot easier to take a pre-cooked filet, put it into a little warmer, and serve it.
Well, those taste fine.
Yeah.
Kids eat them every day.
Exactly.
They don't complain.
We think things should be done a little different. You know, not to knock anybody else for what they choose to do. That's their.
Well, like I say, I like you, but you're wrong. If you're going to eat a chicken sandwich, that one is much better and much better for you.
They are faster. I will say that out of the even, I know you're not fast food, but you are probably the fastest, even though. Yours are made more fresh than basically.
Yeah, we still pride ourselves on, like, when we talk about, when we have meetings, when I meet with my staff, and this I'm sure is the way of every Chick-fil-A restaurant around the country, and even now internationally, because we're going into Canada. The thing we talk about is we may not be fast food, may not want to consider ourselves fast food per se, but at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with saying we are, at the end of the day, we are kind of fast food, because when people come to us, they want their food quick. They're on a break, on a lunch break, they're picking up dinner for their family. They don't have time to sit in line and wait for food for 15 minutes just because, you're going to get a hand-breaded filet. Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me if you're making me wait 20 minutes for my sandwich.
Yeah,
exactly.
Originally, the term was created because it was just that it was fat.
Exactly.
It was cooked fat.
Exactly.
Nothing to do with the preservatives
or anything we
deal with today.
No, that's why I got no problem. If somebody calls me fast foods, I got no problem. We know what we do, and people that we feel like the taste speaks for itself. If you bite into one of our sandwiches, hopefully you enjoy it and you come back, and that's what's all it is.
Explain a little bit about getting ahead of the game, because you're in a mall, so there's other places to eat in the mall. So if I'm that guy that won't wait in the line, I go to the other place.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I want a Chinese or not, I'm going to go get it because I don't want to wait.
Sample?
There you go. Yeah. So my question is, what do you do to stay ahead of the games? What are some of the things that Chick-fil-A are doing to speed things up? We see the double and triple lines in the drive-thrus now. You don't have a drive-thru because you're a mall store. So what are some of the things you do to try to expedite to make it a little different? Like, I know they have the apps for calling ahead, and all the restaurants are doing that now, so you prepay. You just walk over and pick up the bag, has your name on it.
So we do the mobile app. The mobile app is a huge thing for our business. It's really revolutionized our business in a lot of ways. The mobile app is huge. People can order, when they get inside the mall area, they select I'm here. They walk to the front counter and their food's waiting for them. They pick it up. You know, we call them by their name, say, hey, mobile order for, this person. They pick it up and they're gone. So it gives them that time. Everybody nowadays is in a hurry. It's all about convenience. So you want the fresh food, you want the quality food, but you need it quick. So the mobile app gives you that. We also do almost like a drive-through concept, but inside the mall. We call it upstream ordering, so we use iPads, and then we're taking people's orders on an iPad
that are waiting in line
before they ever get to the counter. And the idea is that by the time they get to the counter, their food is already ready to go.
And but these new ones, you can actually pay for it.
Yeah.
While you're in the line.
Yeah.
In the old days, you had to go all the way up there.
Yes. Yeah. So we're actually in the process right now of rolling that out. Where people will now be able to pay in line with a credit card through a little scanner that we have that's set up. And
so when they get up there,
it's already done.
It's done. You just hand them your receipt. They hand you the food. You're out.
Yeah. And we call it three stations. So you're
pretty smart.
You walk up. The person takes your order. Our team member takes your order on the iPad. You pay with your credit card. We have a receipt printer that goes on their belt. We print the receipt, give you the receipt in line. You walk up to the line.
Pick up your food, you're done.
Well, you go to the drink station, you pick up your drinks, then you go to the condiment station, you get whatever sauces you want from one of our team members there, and then the third and final station is where you pick up your food and you're gone. So it's an assembly line almost, but the key to us is as fast as we try to make it, you still kind of make sure you have that personal contact.
Right.
Because that's ultimately.
But then again, if anyone's been in any mall, and I'm not talking just yours, because of course we live in Gainesville, you're there, but same way at the Gainesville Mall, that's the busiest place in the mall.
Yeah.
So you're just trying to expedite but still keep the personalized service.
Yeah, which is challenging. That's what people say, what is your biggest challenge? It's with our volumes increasing and our stores getting busier, it's a huge blessing, obviously, to have that, but it's a big challenge at the same time because you have to determine. Want to be fast, but we don't want to lose what got us.
What got you where you are
in the first place, which is being personable.
Right.
Yeah, because some of these places, with the automated stuff, picking your own, items on the menu, basically being your own cashier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for them to say, go to the back and cook your own burger.
That'll be next.
And, basically,
you get a discount.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's what the world is coming to.
Yeah.
Now, on a happier note, you're a Gator grad that I'm extremely proud of, putting you through the University of Florida. But you live in Miami.
Yeah.
And one of your number one accounts is the University of Miami, mm-hmm. and you cater to all of them: football, basketball, baseball, et cetera, et cetera. I've met numerous coaches with you down there, and. So what's it like catering? And I've seen them. I've been at your store when they come in and hand you the University of Miami shirt that, hey, we want you to wear this when you come to the game tonight, Justin.
Yep, gladly. Yeah. Gladly. All joking aside, I've become a Cane. And the only agreement that I have given, and I make it very clear to any Cane that I talk to, fellow Cane, because I do consider myself a Hurricane fan now, is that I will root for the Canes on all odds and all sports as long as they're not playing the Florida Gators, because I still love the Florida Gators. That is my team. It's my alma mater. It's where I grew up. I'll always love the Gators. And so as long as they don't play each other, which I know they do this year, the first game of the year.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we're fired up about that. Going to Orlando, baby.
I will be wearing orange and blue for that game.
Yes.
But after that game is over, once the Canes are playing the following week, I'll root for the Gators during their game, and I'll root for the Canes during theirs. And there's great people there, just like I'm sure at the University of Florida. And I've made a lot of close friends there, and it's a really, really respectable program and doing some great things there. So I truly
got to tell you, Justin got sideline tickets last year, and standing on a sideline to see a college football game, I cannot express to you, I'm ruined now. If he ever invites me to another game, the first question out of my mouth is going to be, we are on the sidelines, right? I don't want to be in a box. I don't want to be on the 50-yard line. I was running side by side with Mark Wright, okay, helping him call plays, okay? It was just, they were tackling people 2 feet in front of me. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I just got to tell you, that was absolutely one of the best days I ever had. And I look forward to doing it again. I hate seeing Mark leave, but I'm looking forward to, the new guy and doing some new things there. And I'm sure we'll get a chance to catch a game. On to my next question. I hear this through Gainesville a lot through the parents that I know.
is it true that parents ask you, they want their children to work at Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, that's true. We have a lot of families that work for us. So I have a brother and two sisters that work for me, all three of which are in leadership roles with me, but all three of which started as team members with me. We have that kind of across the board. We've had brothers, cousins, sisters.
But basically, they don't get yelled, screamed, or cursed at.
No.
At a Chick-fil-A.
No.
You don't condone it.
No. We
from managers, owners.
Well, from managers and owners. The customers are a different story.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm from Miami. I know what the customers
are. Yeah, there you
are.
Go. Good point.
But the parents do. I mean, we do offer things like college scholarships, so they get.
I saw that on your website where two or three of them got the scholarship the other day.
Yeah,
very impressive.
Yeah, this year we gave out a few of the $2,500 college scholarships. We've handed out multiple of those over the 8 years that I've been the owner of the restaurant. And that happens, it's not just our Chick-fil-A, but all Chick-fil-A's across the country. Just the overall experience they're going to get, the idea that if they want a further career at Chick-fil-A too, there's that opportunity available to them. We have fast-tracked ownership programs. And
yeah, you actually have a girl that started with you that was like 14 or 15 years old, and then she's worked her way up. Now she goes to grand opening stores all over the country.
Yeah.
And she's done that for so long that now she's up to get a store, is that correct?
Yeah, so she's in the process of, she's going to be nearing that point. When she gets her degree, when she's working on finishing her degree now, she'll continue to do these grand openings up until then. So this year she's gone to Dallas, Texas, gone to Seattle, Washington, Madison, Georgia, a bunch of different places. And then I think she's doing a couple more later this year sometime. So yeah, she gets to go be part of the new Chick-fil-A's that are opening. So it's a really cool experience for her. And then also, this gives her more exposure, practice for when hopefully she gets her own restaurant, her own Chick-fil-A restaurant, which is it's a life-changing experience. Anybody that gets that opportunity really is life-changing.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that you can really make a, everyone always, joke when I was in high school, everyone always told me, oh, if you don't graduate high school, better learn how to say like fries with that. But really, the stories I hear what Chick-fil-A does, I mean, that's a great career. I mean, really, obviously you should graduate high school and maybe go to college also, you can really make a career in Chick-fil-A and really work your way up the ladder.
Yeah, there's owners that start, there's a lot of owners, Chick-fil-A owners that started as team members in Chick-fil-A restaurants. Some cases, when they were in high school. We are a first job employer for a lot,
for a lot of kids
get their first jobs with us, and some of them.
Let's go a step farther. I got to be careful how I phrase this, because my daughter she teaches classes online for the College of Ed, and she runs a department at the University of Florida, but all of her degrees are in special ed. So I got to be very careful what I say as far as being politically correct here. But Justin has a couple of employees that you've hired from an agency that specialize in that.
Yeah.
And I was blessed enough to meet them when I went down to go to the game with Justin. And I got to tell you, I was so impressed. The nicest guys I've ever met. And they're wonderful employees, obviously.
Yeah, they're good kids. And he calls himself Executive Chef Amir. So if you eat fries at our restaurant at any given time, there's about a 95% chance that Amir cooked those fries. He is our fry cook, and he literally takes pride in every single fry that he makes. He wants it to be salted just right. He has a little magic little twist that he puts on the salt shaker to get the salt to fall a certain direction, and if you make the mistake of asking him that, you'll get the story that's about a 35, 40-minute story as to why he has that little twist that he uses to pour the salt that way. But
he has a chef's jacket that he had actually signed by Emeril Lagasse when he was in New Orleans. He's that into this job.
Yeah, it's his hero. Yeah, he wants to be an executive
and
chef.
I got to tell you guys, it's a wonderful program, and that you use and. That was just an absolutely amazing experience seeing those kids there doing that for you. Absolutely amazing.
What's the story on the cap? because I'm really I'm waiting for there to be a burger on the menu. One burger. That's all I'm asking for. One burger.
Yeah.
All the burger places have one chicken sandwich. Yeah. I think you should have a burger. But as long as the cow has you under its hoof.
Hey, I've actually had to wear that cow costume for it. Somebody didn't show up one time.
Yeah. It's called the self-preservation campaign. The cows are all about self-preservation at Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
So their whole campaign slogan, if you will, is to get people to eat more chicken. So you eat less of them. And
worked.
Yeah, we take pride in that. But the cow was actually created by a gentleman that was working at our corporate office in Atlanta. He was literally doing doodles, like just making drawings. And the Cathy family, True Cathy, the founder, and his son Dan Cathy, kind of caught on to that and said, this would be really cool if we could kind of make this our... Let's make this our campaign. Because initially, the story of Chick-fil-A was our first mascot was called Doodles. Doodles was a chicken. And so it was a guy that wore tights and a chicken costume. And so
I'm glad you switched to the cow.
Yeah, so
yeah, 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 yeah. And in the early days, Doodles was the Chick-fil-A mascot. So if you look online and you search Chick-fil-A Doodles, you'll find some really crazy pictures out there. But the cow is the new thing. The cow is still obviously a very popular thing in Chick-fil-A, the whole eat more chicken cow.
Well, tell us a little more about you. You just got elected to a board of directors or something in Miami for, what was it, the Orange Bowl?
I'm on the board of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, so FCA in Miami. We work closely with the Orange Bowl committee for the... We do a big event every year for the Orange Bowl bowl game that's played there in Miami called the Orange Bowl Prayer Breakfast, where both teams who are playing in the Orange Bowl are invited, and it's a breakfast where we have guest speakers. So this year it was Danny Cannell.
Robbie and I were lucky enough to go two years ago.
Yeah, that was a great breakfast.
I got to tell you, the speakers were amazing, and to hear these guys talk about their lives was... It was worth the cost of the breakfast, and then everybody that buys the breakfast, so many athletes from high school could come for free.
Yeah, yeah. So what it is, you know, we get different businesses and people around the community to sponsor tables. And if they buy the table, then that table is filled with local athletes from local high schools that are deserving athletes whose, you know, coaches nominate them to go. And they get to come, they get to meet the teams before the breakfast, take pictures, meet the coaches, meet the guest speakers. So for those kids, you know, it's a really cool experience. And we also give them, the kids that go to the breakfast also get a ticket each to the Orange Bowl. So that gives them a really cool experience as well.
That's pretty cool. And like I say, we thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know what I enjoyed more. I mean, the food was phenomenal, number one. And the guest speakers were just absolutely amazing. And it sort of tied into what one of Robbie's degrees is in. The one guy that was, and I feel bad, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he played NFL for like 4 years, and he couldn't play anymore because of surgery on his shoulders. And he's going on to tell how his life changed from there. And now he transitions athletes that are going from pros to the real world, where they thought they were going to be millionaires and never have to work again, and you only get to play football for 2 or 3 or 4 years. You know, you didn't even make the 5 years to be on the retirement and the health plan. So now he's so good at what he does, his company that he created, before you leave the NFL, you have to pay a visit to his company so he can kind of guide you in the right directions. But he was not only was he funny, but he was really to the point with what it really is like, because he lived it.
Yeah,
he lived it. He walked it. Yeah. You know, it was amazing. And guys, we can tell you that we reached out. We've been telling you about the guest speakers coming. We didn't mention any names because we were making, you know, Robbie was making sure that they were going to be able to be on the show and what have you. And I wanted my son to be the first one, but a couple of people have gotten back to us. So we have got some great guests coming in the future, and the mixture of these guys is going to really be fun to talk to. We got a guy that's, you know, a scientist by day and a professional breakdancer from time to time.
Yeah.
Does that sound amazing or what? And we actually know this guy personally, and he's a blast to be around, and I wouldn't believe it if I wouldn't have seen it. So it's just going to be amazing for you guys to hear what this guy has to say about work life and what he does for fun. It's absolutely going to blow your minds. Today is the Gators game for basketball.
Yeah.
So we're fixing to leave here and go try a few more of these beers and watch the Gators hopefully win. I'm surprised they got past the first round, so yeah. I'm thrilled already.
Yeah, I think I don't see much good in the sight tonight.
Yeah.
I think anybody that's watching this team.
So on our next show, Robbie and I will discuss that for sure.
And then before we leave, because this past week we had there was a huge news that happened, and you know, both Dean and Justin are really big into college sports. I'm not that huge into it, even though, you know, I do work at a university and I do plan to work with college athletes now. You know, I've never really followed it that much, but the parents that got caught with this whole system, you know.
Terrible.
Are you guys surprised that it happened?
I got to be honest with you. I know it's been going on for years. See, let me tell you how I know it's been going on for years. I'm a nobody. And in 1978, I'm not going to say which college, okay, but I was flown to a college, okay, for a weekend, for the visit, like everybody does, right? And walked to school, went out, worked out with the baseball team, man, had a great visit, you know, the whole nine yards. So Vincent, now I always saw the coach when I first landed, right? Other than that, I never saw him again the whole weekend. It was party this, party that, let's go here, let's, you know, it was crazy. I had a really good time. They put me with the catcher of the team and put me up at a really nice hotel, whole nine yards. The last day before I fly home is when you meet with the coach. So I go down there, meet with the coach, and I have our little conversation. Like, once again, this is just me. I'm a nobody. And he says, look, here's the deal. You know, we can do this, this, and this for you. I said, that's great. He goes, we'll fly you home three times a year, yada, yada, yada. I said, you know. I said, well, my grades are sort of so-so because, you know, I'm all about ball. I don't go to class, you know. He goes, no problem. We'll send a girl to your classes. She'll take the notes. She'll tutor you so that you can take the test.
Nice.
So I don't even have to go to class. He goes, yeah, every now and then you guys show up. So the professor knows who you are. Here's the catch. They put it on this level. And then go to the level where it is on TV now. I said, well, this is 1977. I just bought a brand new Smokey and the Bandit Pontiac Trans Am. I said, I have a car payment and everything. He goes, that's no problem. We're just going to, you know, put you on in the cafeteria. And I said, whoa, man. I'm not working. He goes, I didn't say you were working in the cafeteria. I'm putting you on the staff of the cafeteria. You have to show up there, Dean, just to pick up a check. And that'll pay your car payment. I said, cool.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking, in the 70s, they're offering me and nobody, we can make that happen.
But that's an athlete. Just like we have today, where athletes,
that's true.
Have the issue. But these are actual
movie stars. They want their kids to go there.
My problem with it, because I agree that it's wrong, obviously.
Well, but
ethically, it's wrong.
But at the end of the day, they're getting in a kid that was on the border, didn't get in. That's what bothers me.
My question
just
is,
because
though,
you're pretty.
With most of these types of schools, I mean, these are, let's be honest,
these are the
stuck-up, you know, elite crap schools.
Right.
You're right.
Make
me want to puke, you know, when I think of these schools because of everything they represent. But how many of these schools, how many cases do we not know of?
Oh, absolutely.
Where a grandfather, a grandmother,
sure.
A father says, you know, hey, you know, at this school, this hallway of dorms, we really need these dorms upgraded. And I tell you what, you know, it'd be real nice, and this during a tour of the university, right? Oh, it'd be real nice, you know, if somebody ever decided to, you know, donate the money so we can make this happen. You know what? If they did, we'd be sure to put their name up there on the wall.
Yeah.
So then you're playing these. How many universities is it this hall?
Yeah.
That
well,
hall,
I got to be honest with you. I was told from a very reliable source that UF, They'll tell you right up front. If you want to donate a certain dollar amount, we'll name it after you.
Yeah. Yeah. So my question is, how many of those people who do that,
I'd
like to see the statistics. If I was one of those people that was caught, I mean, granted, everything they did was wrong.
Right.
It's wrong, and they knew it was wrong.
Right.
So, I mean, they're caught. You know, they're caught right-handed. But I'd say, you know, at least, you know, I'm going down in flames anyways.
Right.
And I'm going to say, hey, so how many of those cases did those people get into those universities? And how many of those people that got in whose dads, you know, donated money for some hall or some, you know, concert hall or some crap like that, what were their actual grades that got them in?
Well, the only thing that bothers me about that is one of them, they actually had somebody else take the test for them or change the score.
No, see, that's the thing that I had the problem with.
Yeah, me too.
That
I took my own SAT.
You paid the proctor.
So I'm living with you.
So I don't mind that if you pay to actually bend the rules, or actually, I personally don't mind that, even though technically that's kind of ethically wrong in a way.
Yeah.
You know,
I come from the world of
right. But you know, but at least you know we're clear on what you did.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
So, but to me,
the cheating part is bad.
If you paid a proctor to change your test,
that's
clearly cheating.
Yeah.
And then two,
I had to cheat to get in.
I think we would have never known really about how deep this goes.
Right.
Had they not filed this under charitable donations.
Oh, yeah. That was another crazy thing.
Tax write-off.
Yeah.
That's real brilliant.
Yeah.
$500,000. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
It's basically money laundering.
Exactly.
At
a high level.
The problem is that, you know, it's scary because, again, I mean, I travel to a lot of other countries and I do a youth camp that I serve at in a particular country that's known that has a lot of problems on a political level with bribery.
I know, you go there and you know every year and it drives me crazy because you're 100 miles from the fighting.
Yeah.
But I've seen what you've done, so I'm impressed.
Yeah, but you know the idea though is that you know it. You got to wonder, well, how did that start? Like, how did it get to where it is there now in a country like that? And how could our country become the same if we're not careful? And when you hear stories like this, it is sad because it's like, okay, it starts somewhere.
Yeah.
And so if you're okay with it now, well, where do you limit your powers? Because in this country that I serve in, at the highest level of the government, it's all about, well, who do you pay?
Right.
And how much are you willing to pay them? And if you're willing to pay them this much, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want throughout this entire country.
Right.
You can literally make this country work for you. This particular country, and it's sad. And you know, luckily, the camp that I'm serving at there over the summers, you know, they're trying to break the next generation of that, and teach them that that's not right, and that's not normal.
And the bad thing is, there's many more countries like that.
Yeah.
I know one where a friend of mine actually goes, and when he goes there, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
He can live there for 3 months for $300 and live like a king in this poor country. And he said the way around it all is that the captain of their army, he goes, once a month you invite him to dinner, and like you say, you feed him the best food.
Give him an envelope.
Give him an envelope.
Yeah.
But to them, $100 is like $100,000 over here.
Yeah, because the exchange
rate. So that's why he has no trouble when he goes there, et cetera, et cetera. But it's been like that for centuries.
So I think that's my biggest thing is, you know, you just have to be careful and,
like you say, the briberies are not going to stop guys in anything, any sports, but I do agree with Robbie on this, you know, the cheating part, I have the issue with. Like you just said, Justin, it's been going on for years, okay, so the money thing ain't going to change, you know, hey, Robbie's my buddy, he can get him, list him as a, you know, a team member of the swim team, okay, and get him into the school, but I don't want someone taking his SAT.
No, absolutely not.
That's just... You know, that's the cheating part I can't deal with.
I can't imagine as a kid.
I mean, like I say, my score sucked.
I
can still get into
that,
college with it, you know what I'm saying?
As a kid, I mean, how embarrassing is
And that kid has lived that, and I don't care if your parents are rich.
No, you're living that the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Your parents' idea was honestly that,
right,
let's just call it what it is, that you're not smart enough to go and pass that test.
That's
to get into
thing.
That school.
I agree with you.
So I'm going to step in and basically make sure that you do it anyways.
Absolutely.
That would bother me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a parent, you want your kids to be better than you, and I'm blessed. I got that. Both of my kids are better than I am. Both of them have done better. Both of them are better human beings and citizens than I am. So I feel that I'm blessed in that respect.
Yeah, and my wife, Justin's sister, Justin himself, and then myself, we all three went to community colleges before we went to UF.
Correct.
So you don't have to go right off the bat to wherever it is that you plan to go.
No, you need to earn it. I mean, at the end of the day, you need to earn it. And, you know, whether, again, and if you get into one of those schools because you earned it, great.
Then that's great.
But you should.
And I feel sorry for the ones that were on the bubble that didn't get in because of this crap. But, you know? But hey, you know what? If you wound up, like you say, instead of it at USC, if you wound up at their community college, I don't care.
Yeah, you can work your way there.
You can make it. It doesn't matter. You can do anything you want. Justin, I won't say it, what Justin's degree is because it's got me in trouble before. But Justin's degree, he would have to go get another degree to use that degree.
History.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But look.
But it was a fun degree to get.
It was an interesting degree.
Justin's like me. And Robert, as far as that goes, I got lucky with my son-in-law. We're all history buffs.
Yeah.
You know, we all dig history. And you know, to us, it wasn't really learning something. We didn't want to learn. We liked it. So it was really nice. But once again, for Justin to use that degree, he has to go get something to go with it.
Yeah.
You know, so Chick-fil-A came along at the right time.
Yeah. I had a bunch of people tell me there's no future in history. So, it's either you go into law
school. Hey, what's his name that just won the Pulitzer last year? Jack is a friend of ours. And Justin actually took his class. He taught Justin in UF. And he actually won a Pulitzer last year or the year before. But he rents from me, and it was just a small world, and I used to say that. He goes, don't say a history degree is useless. Look at your son.
It's not quite useless, but it's probably pretty, if there's a line close to useless, it's right there. It's right there on it. It's not worth the paper it's printed on.
See, you got to go on and you either teach or you go to law school.
Most people that got it were going to law school.
Right.
They were going to go and do that.
Well, Justin, thank you for being our very first guest.
Yeah, that was great.
And you can remember, years down the road when Robbie and I are famous.
Yeah.
I left out the rich part because that'll probably never happen.
Our wives will spend it.
Yes,
so
absolutely. But it's a pleasure for you to be our very first guest on the show. And you guys, we appreciate you listening. And remember, you're listening to Dean and Robert. And I like you, but
you're wrong. Thank you.